Mostly Talk. Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on February 11th, 2007. Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com. Tonight, on the line as we speak, a brand new field reporter will be knighted this evening. I'm sure she's looking forward to that. The Memphis Mid-South Ghost Hunters will be joining us to talk about the multi-state work they're doing. And then later tonight, we'll be joined by our friend, Robin Bellamy, who we met at the 2005 Mothman Festival, to discuss what she has cooking. Cooking is in quotes. Finally, tonight, the lovely Heidi Hollis returns. That's our edict. I needed to work that into a sentence.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Edict.
Edict.
Edict. Okay,
that's
so
my new word of the minute.
Enthrall me with your wares on this, please.
Edict. No. Edict. Command. Our challenge. Our rule that we live by.
How
edict.
Prolific. How prolific. Yeah, this is Ghostly Talk.
Shut up. Shut your mouth. Shut up, little man!
It's only a,
shut up, little man!
It's only a five-letter word.
You just shut your filthy mouth, little man!
You don't get the joke, but Bonnie gets the joke.
Bonnie gets the joke.
We'll tell you the joke after.
All right.
It's little a
man.
Great joke, too!
Oh, great. Inside jokes here on Ghost.
We've been doing that since day one. What are you talking about, man?
This is, for better or for worse, Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
Shut your filthy little mouth. What a week.
Wow.
What a couple of weeks.
What a show.
We weren't. Whoa. I know, that's going to be like, okay.
You know, this is really weird because we're not going to have a show again next week, are we?
I know, we're like totally slacking. Like,
we're
2007
has
been the year of slack so far. Well, yeah.
It's not that we're slacking. We're just driving all over the world.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of traveling going on this year, along with the fact that, you know, unfortunately, we've had a lot of the holidays have just blasted through Ghostly Talk. We had, you know, in 2006, at the end of the year, we had Christmas and
followed
New Year's.
Immediately by New Year's. And then
we had Super Bowl Sunday, which should be a holiday.
Right. Well, it's our holiday. I mean,
go
we
Colts.
Were together.
By the way, also.
Go Colts.
Yeah. Congratulations.
By the way, I mean, just a warning to people, Easter Sunday, we're not gonna work Easter Sunday either.
No.
Well, you know, when you're making big bucks like we are nowadays, you don't need to work
as much.
You don't
have to. We just call an off day.
Yeah, we just take a vacation
day.
So, no, we're sorry about that, but hey, it's the way it goes. What are you going to do? A lot of things going on, but, you know, we'll talk more about that later on. We're going to sprinkle, I think, our commentary throughout the show today.
Okay. How are we now?
I like sprinkling.
We're going to have to, because we, like, just jam-pack this show to the gills.
Give me 1 minute, though, first of all.
Okay, we'll start right now.
Oh, I'm on the clock?
58.
I'm watching.
57.
I have to say, tonight, after the show, I'm going to join Sean and Nathan on
Possible
for their
Schoonover.
Schoonover,
sorry.
Nathan Schoonover and Sean B. They're going to be taping the premiere of
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Another show out there for you guys to bite down on. They're two dear friends of ours, and we're just really excited to see these guys do their thing.
I spent a lot of time with them in Gettysburg.
Yeah.
So I've ghost hunted with both these fellows.
Oh, they're both wonderful.
I'm very, very excited about their new show. And I'm happy about any new show. So everybody starting up new shows, you know, let us know. Get out your links. I want to hear them.
Definitely. Please. Okay. I love when we get an email from somebody that says,
Check out my new show.
And I'm like, hey, how about I put it on our links page? All you got to do is email us, and we'll, like, link you up. We link about anybody up. We don't care.
Yeah.
Minutes up.
All right.
We got to move on.
Like I said, today. Well, I did want to get that in.
No, that's
today,
cool.
Today we have on the line, and we've heard from her already. I mean, she's been, you know, in the background, giggling and stuff, waiting patiently. Waiting patiently
here.
For us to get to get through this you know immediate part of the show.
Diatribe, yes.
Think diatribe. That's a good one. D I A.
Good word.
That's an 8-letter word. I dig it.
Why? Oh my.
We have on the phone Dorette Stevens from New Hampshire. Your website, Dorette, is www.newenglandafterliferesearch.com.
Yes, it is. Hopefully that's long enough.
That's why we bookmark things.
Yeah, that's why we have a bookmark.
You better believe it.
I was on your site today, Dorette, and very impressed. The one thing that really, really caught my eye, and this really did, I was absolutely shocked that we have not talked about this on the show.
Mm.
And you mentioned it right in your, items for ghost hunting.
Yeah.
Not just headphones. Now, this is what really intrigues me, because I thought it was like, because I've used pretty much anything that was laying around. But, of course, here in the studio, because we do Ghostly Talk, we've got these kinds of headphones.
Yeah.
But you mentioned headphones that completely cover the ear are important.
We got, I mean, that's what we have now. We got these really good headphones now, and apparently
and
really
the microphone that we have.
Noise and stuff.
We don't have good mic stands, and we have absolutely no
coordination. We don't have coordination yet.
We just knock our microphones all over.
Well, these ones actually do. I remember when we bought these things, these were like, whoa, these are trippy, because they cover your whole ear.
They cover your whole ear. You can't hear. You can hardly hear around, you know, the outside stuff. You hear whatever goes in the microphone, whoever's on the phone, but... You know, outside, you'd have to have a marching band marching through the haunted Warren Winery in order to hear it.
Let's try that.
Yeah, okay, we'll rent a marching band for 2 weekends from now, and we'll...
Okay.
All right, cool. And, so on NewEnglandAfterLifeResearch.com, I was perusing through this, and you wrote it, you know, like, this makes sense to me. Why hasn't anybody ever talked about this? And I've never talked about it. So tell us about these common sense things that you've just noticed offhand and decided to tell everyone, because I love it. It makes so much sense.
Well, the headphones like that are kind of born of necessity, because the earbuds won't fit in my ears, so I've had a hard time with those.
Uh-huh.
And I was reviewing a couple of sound websites, and a gentleman that used to work for a radio station said that his father used those headphones, and they lasted him about 20, 25 years. They lasted forever, that particular brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I was willing to give him a shot, and they were too much more expensive than any other studio quality. I checked a few of the stores around here, and they didn't have anything like that. So when it comes down to things like that, I don't mind doing a little bit of research and kind of coming up with the right product, rather than experiment too much with something that may not work as good for me. But I have been happy with those headphones. I have had the amazing disappearing EVPs, unfortunately, and I was wondering if it was a phone, but I think a couple upon review have disappeared on their own.
Well, I think that's a lot has to do with a really good set of headphones that really squish your head, so to say,
right,
if you're doing.
I think you want headphones during, you didn't say this on the website, but underneath it all, it really makes sense. You want headphones that will accurately reproduce the sound that was captured,
mm-hmm.
right? You want headphones that will attempt to, well, first of all, I mean, probably first and foremost should be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of times that we spend in headphones...
Yeah, right. We needed to get some ones that were somewhat cushioned.
Right, we needed cushioned ones, studio quality ones, and so we ended up getting them. But but for EVP review, same thing. You're going to spend a lot of time listening to recordings.
Yeah,
and so you want comfort. Probably number one. Number two, or well, probably, no, number one would be accurate reproduction of the sound.
Well, yeah.
But it's got to go hand in hand with comfort because of the length of time that you're doing this. So, so hand in hand, accurate reproduction and comfort. Mm-hmm. And then an added bonus of the padded headphones, the full over-ear headphones, is that it will indeed allow you to concentrate more on what's in that recording and be less distracted by outside noise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actual ambient noise in the room or in the, you know, wherever you're listening to
people, stuff like that.
Yeah, people, dishwashers, TV, kids.
And make no mistake, they'll make your ears hot. You got to pull them off. You know how that is.
Oh, well, yeah, after a show here, we pull these headphones off and we're all like sweating.
They go, they go.
Gross.
You're like, oh my gosh.
Dorette,
I don't think I've ever heard that when I've taken these off.
Well, you have hair on the sides of your face.
yeah.
Well, no. Not over my ears.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you guys need more hair growing out of your ears.
We thought you were a wolf woman, but I guess not.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
very nice. Dorette, you contacted us a while back, and you were like, hey, you know, I hear you guys are doing this crazy field reporter thing, and, you know, even though I can't stand you guys, I really like to be a field reporter. And I said, and I said, well, okay, that's cool. You know,
yeah, the email read just like
The email read just like that. You know, you guys are ridiculous, but I really wanted to be a field reporter. So
we agreed.
We agreed. We definitely agreed. So what, if Doug, if you don't mind, I'd like to do this. We do have to do the nighting.
Okay.
We have to night. Let's do it. Dorette. Now, Dorette, I'm sure you've listened to a couple of Ghostly Talks over the years.
Oh, yeah.
So I think you're going to be familiar with how we kind of do this thing.
Uh-huh.
First, I'd just like you to raise your right hand.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now
and you have to wave it in the air.
Like you just don't care.
Like you just don't care.
Yeah. Where did that one come from?
I don't know.
Did I start that?
You started that? We're going to have a rap battle on Ghostly Talk now?
This writing has
Where's Eminem at? Let's get, he's like, you fired. He's down the street right now. Let's get Eminem out.
Call him up.
So you got your hand up in the air, right, Dorette?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'd like... We're never going to get through this.
We need you to put your left hand on a copy of Troy Taylor's Ghost Hunter's Bible.
Sniff it. Because Troy has the best smelling book
Troy
ever. So you
How about any John Zaffis book?
That'll work. Too.
That'll work.
Okay.
That'll work, too. All right. That'll work also. All right, so I'd like you to repeat after me.
Okay.
I state your name.
I, Dorette Stevens.
Do hereby swear to love Ghostly Talk.
Do hereby swear to love Ghostly Talk.
Again, I swear to love Ghostly Talk.
I swear to love Ghostly Talk.
Again, I swear to love Ghostly Talk.
I swear! Wow. I get an email and I swear to love Ghostly Talk. Yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
You're doing better than I thought.
She just, like, totally blew me out.
I think we're done.
No,
we're not done.
I swear to praise her!
I praise the Scardell, Doug, and Bonnie.
Yeah!
Woo-hoo. Well, you know what? Just for saying that, we're done.
Doug, I hit the knife.
I hit
the sword.
It's not
the
a
sword,
knife.
Doug.
It's a sword. Shing.
Congratulations, Dorette.
Why, thank
Congratulations.
You.
Congratulations.
That was the shortest and most fulfilling.
You know, I feel different.
Do you feel different? You feel
I
enlightened?
Do.
You feel enlightened, sister.
And I think my arm's just tired.
Oh, yeah. You can put your arm down.
You
can
drop your arm
down.
Yeah. Put your arm you don't down. Have to wave it around no more.
All right. The blood's rushing down.
Okay. The listeners are dropping like flies, I think.
Oh,
that's okay.
No.
That's all right. I don't care. That's just speculation. congratulations, Dorette. You are our new New Hampshire field reporter.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate it. And as a field reporter, a Ghostly Talk field reporter, you are entitled to all rights and privileges that Ghostly Talk field reporters do have, which is nothing. But we do really appreciate you coming on. And like Doug says all the time, I'll say it also, you have an open door now. If you're working on anything, you have something going on, call us, email us, send us a smoke signal, whatever it may be. Let us know, and we'd love to have you come on and discuss what you're working on.
Exactly.
Appreciate it.
Doug, you have the floor.
Well, I've been looking through the list of things that you wanted to discuss, and you've got quite a list, and I'm interested in every single one of them. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear about the Queen Mary, and did you meet Peter James?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll skip that one. We'll
You know, I checked his website out. He's got a new website coming up, but it's under construction right now. He's changing.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was some other different format going on with that. He's probably doing a radio show, too.
I hope so.
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
The more, the better.
It'd be very cool to hear that.
The likes of Peter James, it would be awesome.
Yes.
But you said if there is time, I want to talk about this one topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to skip right to that topic.
Okay.
Because not many people talk about this.
I'm getting hot chocolate.
And this is, you can go get hot chocolate. This is a topic that's near and dear to me. It's a topic that I grew up reading about and dreaming about and, you know, thinking that I was probably born too late. Of course, now I think I was also born too late because I think I'm a hippie. But I'm bringing back the word dig in case you didn't notice. But anyway, I'm working on it. It's slowly integrating. Anyway, you wanted to talk about spiritualism.
Yeah.
I wonder what that noise was. Spiritualism in the paranormal. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because the spiritualism, you know, starting with what the Fox sisters way back in the late 1800s, and
right,
and then it caught on. I mean, big time. And this has a direct tie-in with what I'm doing next weekend, because next weekend we're going down to Bonnie and I,
mm-hmm.
and of course Tom from the west side of the state.
Yes,
we're all going down to
and Sean.
Oh, and Sean.
He has to go.
From Indianapolis. We're going to go hang with Troy Taylor at the Weird Winter.
Nice.
In Decatur, Illinois. So one of the things that they're doing is they're going to be talking about, and this is a name that comes up over and over again when you talk about spiritualism, they're going to talk about Harry Houdini.
Ah.
And I've always been fascinated and interested in hearing in Houdini because he has a Detroit tie-in. That's where he was, you know, punched in the stomach before he went on to the next show up in Toronto and passed away. But he was a famous, you know, debunker of spiritualists. He would go from medium to medium, you know, and try and debunk what they were doing. So, although he was only doing that because he was so fascinated by it. So it's kind of a dual, you know, double-edged sword. I really love this topic. What is your take on spiritualism and the paranormal?
Well, when I was introduced to it by a friend of mine who I met in a bookstore, and she knew a medium out of Derry, New Hampshire here who ran a small church in Massachusetts. So I went to check it out and got a message from one of the ministers in training. And when I left that afternoon, I was just so jazzed that I had to investigated as much as I could, and as the time went on and I learned a little more about it, we ended up going to Lilydale, where it really all began. That was ground zero for it, and you find that there's just so much love, and a lot of people approach it with the idea that they want to get messages from the other side, and I think that's kind of irrelevant. It's rather touching if you do get one, but you could get messages from family members that you don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
When I was small, I had this practically incapacitating fear of death. I would sit on the couch, think about darkness, how things would end, and I would cry. I'd be so afraid of dying, and learning as much as I could about how maybe the consciousness will move on and that maybe we don't change so much and we could come back. The possibilities are all there that kind of really take a lot of the fear out of the fact that there may not be anything on the other side. And I had received a reading from a gentleman at Lilydale, George Kincaid, and what a charming man he was. And he gave me a message that I couldn't have possibly got from anyone else. He told me that I could do away with the ashes of my mom. She doesn't need them anymore, and there's nobody on earth that ever knew that I had kept her ashes close to me because we'd moved a lot.
Wow.
So that was, mm-hmm. That was one message that just kind of stopped me. The rest of the message went on, and I don't know my father, so I really can't go back and find if any of that is true or not.
Mm-hmm.
But every so often you do get something that will kind of stop you and make you think that maybe there is a possibility that we could communicate back, and it is choice. maybe once we're on the other side, they find other things to do and it's not so necessary to come back. But if I do have, you know, a hard day and I think about my mom, I do feel comforted after a while that maybe she is there. You know, and it's always full of emotion. There's so much love and so much emotion. And when we went to one of the services out at Lilydale, you couldn't help but cry because there's just so much feeling in the air. And that's pretty much a religion based on love. And
who did you go to Lilydale with?
My husband, Dan.
Okay.
And he's our resident skeptic.
Does Dan ghost hunt with you? Or
yes, he does.
Does he analyze EVPs with you?
Yes. Yeah, he's the engineer. He knows all the sound equipment and how to use the Audacity programs. And
sweet program, I have to say. Really good, really good program.
Just on Dan.
Oh, there's Dan.
Oh, it's Dan's here.
Hey, Dan.
There's Dan. Hello. Dan, what's your take on the paranormal? I know you were kind of touched by the trip out to Lilydale also.
Well, just in general, you know, I'm more scientist kind of guy and everything, but I'm basically leaving that area open. I've seen some things and heard some things that have been pretty convincing, so I'm willing to keep that area open right now, if possible.
And Dan, you obviously you work with Dorette and you're in your group, and you guys go out and do that. And you, like she just said, you guys.
Well, they're married.
Okay, I'm sorry. I said obviously, like I say all the time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
All right. Well, and you guys go out. You are the resident skeptic. And I always like to hear from people that talk in that. Well, they have that approach. We've always said, you know, hey, you know, we're trying to approach this from a scientific point of view, but we're always open to, like, weird stuff. We've heard weird stuff. Doug and I have. Bonnie,
I have
too.
Seen weird stuff.
Right.
You know, we've had our things happen,
unexplainable
too.
Stuff, I should say.
But it's, I think it's the healthiest to try to come from a scientific viewpoint, though, when it comes to any of this kind of stuff. There's always different opinions. There's always different people out there, and they're going to have their ways of doing things. That's how I like to do it.
Dorette, the people you met at Lilydale, did they seem, like, way far out there?
Some do. Unfortunately, you do find the hangers-on. I've been to a few of those psychic fairs, and I try to keep an open mind, too, and not believe everything I hear. But you'll find people that will latch on to anything, and they idolize certain folks, too. They'll follow people around. Now, the place is loaded with mediums. All the mediums live in the homes there. A lot more women go than men. A lot of them are older, towards middle age, and those seem like more stable individuals. But you do get... I mean, it's a very low percentage of people that maybe go off on the wrong direction. They may become obsessed with it or become obsessed with a certain person and latch on to that person in the hopes of getting a message. I have to get a message from my mom. I have to get a message from my dad. But other than that, we didn't come across any of that particular weekend, not out at Lilydale. The people that go to Lilydale are extremely serious about spiritualism. They also put on some classes through Morris Pratt if you want to become a minister on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And they really tend to take it, because it's a 10-hour ride. You know, it's just kind of out in the middle of, well, they probably got 110 inches of snow right now as we talk.
I believe that.
But what a, you know, it's a beautiful place. It needs care. You know, with any religion. Especially one like this, it seems to be kind of fading away, or they come and go out of vogue. I do wish more people would investigate it for themselves and kind of adopt a spiritual site, or, you know, kind of help with the upkeep and things like that. I just wish it was closer to myself. But yeah, you know, when it comes to the spiritualism, there's not too many people. Mostly the people... are grieving or they're hurting inside and they're looking for something to alleviate that pain, or just one little word or something that will tell them, you know, that will clue them in that who they want to talk to is thinking about them.
Mm.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
It's actually, that's a more modern, what you've described is a much more modern.
Yes, it was.
It's a lot more modern than it was, you know, back in the 1900s. Or early 1900s, when spiritualism meant a lot of physical phenomena.
Yes.
And
the physical mediums, the cheesecloth, the whole thing. Oh, my goodness, what a funny stuff. And it was born out of the grieving widows and children during World War I, I believe?
Yeah.
There was a lot of widows.
Oh, that's when it really had a huge effect. But,
right.
But I have to say, I'm really glad we got to talk about that. There was a question you had for us.
Oh, boy. What was that question, by the way?
I'm on the spot. I don't remember.
No. You wanted to know our opinion on orbs on video.
Yes, especially one that was put out by the young man out of North Carolina. Oh, what's his name? He's got all that stuff going on. All the stuff going on. Josh Warren, that's it.
Josh Warren, yeah.
Yes, he had a video on where orbs were coming out of TVs, coming out of drawers. Now, I videotape them where I work at night, and I work by myself, so I try not to scare myself silly. But I videotape them coming in and out of a mirror. So I have to wonder, is it just how they hold energy? I mean, what's going on with that? What is your opinion with videotaping those moving balls of light?
Moving balls of light.
Well, I've had I think that it's a similar phenomenon to orbs on film. On camera film, not on digital. When you orbs on film,
I had the Duran.
Seriously, it went right through my head at the same time.
But I just
think
the Duran Duran song blew through my head.
Girl,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Doug.
I'm recovering.
You can see
that.
Doug, let's just face it. You dig it, okay?
I dig it. Yes, orbs on film. The new hit single by the GT Crew. I think that some of them are going to be, you know, energy. Some of them could be energy based and be you know, some kind of proof of the afterlife or a related phenomena to the presence of a ghost or spirit. Okay. So it may not be the actual ghost or the actual spirit or the actual dead person. This is going or dead, you know, animal or whatever. It might not be their actual energy, but it may be related to their energy being there. And it could, and a certain percentage, but I think that percentage is going to be in the 3% range.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 97% of these things that are caught even on video are going to be video aberrations.
That's kind of where I'm at too,
and more where
I'm at, I should say.
Right, I do think that a certain percentage, and I think it's a very, very, very low percentage, are probably not directly the ghosts themselves, but a related phenomena related to the, you know, a phenomena related to the ghost being, like, for some reason, physically there.
In extreme case, yeah.
Right, because I don't think a ghost has to really physically ever be anywhere in particular.
Yeah. No.
Just like you know, the universal forces, you know, they don't have to be anywhere in particular at any time, like Schrodinger's cat.
Mm-hmm.
Is cat dead? Is cat alive? I don't know. Nobody knows till you open up the thing, you know. And,
yeah.
And so I think that it's a related phenomenon to their being there for some reason.
Could it be energy projected from the living?
That's actually another theory.
That's the reason why if you don't like cold, hard numbers, you don't get into the paranormal, because there are about 400 different takes on it, which is one you just mentioned right
there.
Well,
and a parapsychologist, okay, these are scientific people who typically do not believe in ghosts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they believe in ghosts, but they're all in our heads. Anyway, I was very disappointed to learn that. But a parapsychologist would say that that's all that anything is. So, it very well could be.
Yeah.
Can people create these? Can you concentrate hard enough and create an orb on video? Good question.
That's worth experimenting with, absolutely.
That would be a very interesting experiment to run.
Yeah, it might be something to try out.
Take 10, 15 people all across the country or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, or if one person per state, that's a 50 people sample,
mm-hmm.
tries to concentrate hard enough to make an orb appear on video, and a tiny percent does, then I'd say that it could be a human faculty.
It would have to be a distinctive orb, though.
Well, you want to set parameters.
Yeah, definitely.
Durrett.
Yeah. Very interesting, yeah.
Durrett, we're out of time for this
segment. Oh, bummer.
It was great meeting you, though.
We're going to have you back on, though. We're going to have you back.
Wonderful.
As you get things that happen, and we didn't even get to talk about your incredible...
No, I hope you got the EVPs anyway for your themselves.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get any EVPs.
You didn't get the EVP attachment?
No. What are all those?
She sent it in an email.
No, that's for something
Scott.
Else. That's something else.
Oh, that's something else?
The email you forwarded to me had them in it.
Really?
To set up her email, yes.
Oh, I'm such a fool.
Yes, you are.
That's okay. When you listen to them, you'll...
Well, maybe we'll have you on sooner than we thought.
I'm sorry.
I will listen to them. We'll listen to them.
Sometimes I just don't see the attachments down at the bottom. I miss it. I apologize.
It was in the writing that she had attached.
But
sometimes I don't read the emails either.
Recently you've been to some pretty incredible places. The old jail in New York, in New York. The old jail in New York, Maine, and then Emily's Bridge in Stowe, Vermont.
That's a scary one. That'll be interesting. We'll keep that for another time.
And as you know, we are in love with a particular bridge over here, you know. Mm. So, well, not Bonnie. She doesn't like that bridge. But
we love it, though.
But I like it. And so bridges are now, you know, a commonality between us. So we do have to have you on soon.
Please.
So that we can talk about your actual ghost hunts.
Yeah, that might be good.
Thank you, Durrett.
We have to go to break. Durrett, stay on the line, though. Hang on for one
second. Okay, thanks.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Hey, this is Sean V, the Ghost Man.
And this is Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And all you blue-collar ghost hunters need to be sure to tune in and listen live every Sunday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Where we'll be discussing ghost hunting and all the folks who do it.
You can check us out at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And believe us when we say this ain't your mama's paranormal, baby.
Ghost Man and Demon Hunter is beyond the normal podcast.
Like a there's something out there lurking. Something paranormal. And it's real. It's never been seen before. And it's going to show itself soon. Get ready for the paranormal experience you've been waiting for. Coming 2007, the ultimate paranormal community. Parapalooza. Spirits and hauntings, cryptozoology, UFO, ancient mysteries, all things paranormal. Parapalooza. Online paranormal community. Live National Ghost Hunts. Ultimate paranormal community.
Coming soon at para-palooza.com.
Mid-South Ghost Hunters, formerly the Ghost Stalkers of West Tennessee, are the oldest and most experienced paranormal investigation team in Western Tennessee, Eastern Arkansas, and Northern Mississippi. They have provided free confidential paranormal investigations, investigative training, and documentation of ghost hauntings and paranormal activity in the Memphis and Mid-South area since March of 2001. That's a long time, jeez. Their mission is to help promote people understand and cope with paranormal activity in their homes or businesses by providing them with reliable evidence, experienced guidance, and continuing support after the investigation. Their service area encompasses 7 states. We thought we were busy, like, cruising around to, like, places around Michigan. 7 states in the Mid-South area, including parts of Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, Missouri, and Kentucky. And with that, I'd like to welcome Steve and Rich from the Memphis Mid-South Ghost Hunters. How are you guys doing tonight?
Great. Thank you for inviting us and joining you.
Oh, you know, and I have to say, Tennessee is, anybody who knows me knows that Tennessee is, I have a soft spot in my heart for Tennessee. I want to retire there someday. Yeah, right. I want to retire there someday, though. And I have family that lives down there, and that's just like my favorite state in the whole country. So when I saw your email, I'm like, oh, these guys are, we have to definitely get these guys on the show. So I love your guys' state, by the way. I just love your state.
Appreciate that.
Your website, of course, is memphisghosthunters.com. And my question is, you guys have this evidently standing event, right, at the Bed and Breakfast.
Great.
Why isn't it sold out for all of 2007 yet? I have to say, I read about it, and for example, March of 2006?
Mm-hmm.
You can't get any better than that.
Oh, yes.
The stories, you guys, describe in your own words what happened. First of all, describe what this is, your standing event,
mm-hmm.
and then tell us what happened in March of 2006.
Okay. We have a lot of people email us and ask to go on investigations, and it's just not feasible to take people out, of course, to private homes and businesses and the outdoor venues such as cemeteries, battlefields, present a lot of problems, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been investigating the Bed and Breakfast in Bolivar, Tennessee. That's about an hour's drive east of Memphis. It's an old Civil War house built in 1864, I believe. It's very, very active. It's 1849,
Steve.
1849, that's right.
Yeah.
It's very active. It's very historical. A lot of the generals from the Civil War stayed there. And it's just a great place to take people and to do workshops and to train them, you know, how to be a paranormal investigator.
And so you guys have, well, you guys, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's controlled, and it's as a controlled environment as you can get. You know, we can't claim that it's going to be controlled because we, you know, we don't have any control over that sort of thing. But but it's relatively safe, put it that way. We've never had any problem out of the live people or the ones, the deceased ones that are around there. So it's a nice place.
And to me, it seems like an absolutely ideal environment. We don't have anything quite like that here in Michigan, where you can take people to a known place. A place with, I mean, the closest we have is going to be in Ohio, the prison there, and the same thing with West Virginia, there's the prison there. You know, that's the closest thing that I think we have to a place where you can go regularly or fairly regularly and investigate and gather evidence. And what you're offering through this is for anybody... Anybody who wants to buy a night there, because, you know, you guys don't pay for them to spend the night there. they have to buy their own night there. But they buy the night there, and then you guys show them I think the official part goes until midnight. And then
we run a hunt until – we do a workshop, a short workshop, and get them familiarized with the various equipment, and then we go do our thing until about midnight, and you'd be surprised how often they come up with something.
Well, speaking of coming up with something, too, you guys, Steve, you sent me this email a couple days ago. It said, hey, I have some stuff for our discussion this weekend on the show. I'm like, oh, okay. So you sent me a zip file over. I crank it open, and my goodness, there's about 1,000 EVP samples here for us to listen to. Would you guys want to check? Are these some from this location that we've been discussing?
Actually, I didn't send any from there. Those are some older ones we've done, and we have had a lot of EVPs at that location, but these are some of the more spectacular ones that we sent to you. That's our focus, and we feel that's the best evidence when you go to any location, is if you can gather some type of recording evidence rather than the photographic evidence, which is so easily contaminated.
Well, we had a question actually that popped up in the chat room too. Before we move on to these EVP files, one of our listeners / I guess somebody who's in the chat room, or I guess they're listening to the show too. They have to be listening to the show if they have a question, right?
Right, right.
Glad I figured that one out.
That took a while. I'll make a chart of that one.
Strike two. Strike two. You're gonna get hit on strike three.
Oh, I can't wait for strike three.
Bonnie's prompting me right now for strike three.
She's trying to set up strike three.
Yeah.
A question we had though in the chat room was: have you guys done any investigations, or if there are any stories possibly? Because this is the Memphis area you guys are from, or you're native from. They were wondering concerning ghost musicians. I mean, obviously, who do you have on the list there, Bonnie?
Elvis, Johnny Cash, old blues singers, etc.
We are actually going to investigate a house that's very close to Graceland.
Really?
2 weeks from now. Yeah, and supposedly they've had some interaction with some of the figures from Graceland. We won't know. Of course, we go down there and check that out. We also investigated a place catty corner to Sun Studios.
Oh!
You can throw a baseball and hit Sun Studios right in the door.
The apparition that was sighted there was a young guy, looked like a teenager, in typical 50s garb. He was had a rolled up t-shirt and rolled up blue jeans, and he was seen there. We went investigated there and recorded EVPs and had some interaction at that site.
That is a haunted site.
I know it was Elvis. It had to have been Elvis, because Elvis is seen everywhere, guys.
Mm-hmm. At Burger King.
It had to have been. At the Burger King.
Mm-hmm. We'll testify to that one, but I do know that this particular, there's apparently several different entities at that one location.
Mm-hmm.
They've learned to use electronic devices, and they go crazy. You know these motion-operated PAL machines?
Mm-hmm.
Restaurants? Well, they've got one back in the kitchen of this place. And they come in there, and this person has just rolled this towels out. He's fascinated by the machine.
Oh, so it just rolls them out, no problem.
That is awesome.
It's kind of cool. It's the upstairs portion of that. It's a cafe now, an internet cafe. It's a really nice place. The upstairs portion of it is, I don't know exactly what all happened there, but I got one EVP of a, it sounded like a murder. You hear this woman say, "Kill me," like that, and you hear a couple of footsteps, stomp, stomp, like that, and you hear, "Kapow," like that. And it's almost like it's they're reenacting something. I wish it was good enough that you could use it on the radio or something like that, but it's not one of those ones that's that crystal clear.
Yeah, that's understandable.
But it's a heck of an EVP, I tell you.
I would like to hear that. If you guys would like to send that over, I'd love to hear that regardless sometime.
Yeah.
Let's check that out.
We collect a lot of EVPs that we never release or put on our website because unless they're very discernible and quite loud, and we never do any kind of processing. Everything you hear on our website and also the ones that we've sent to you are strictly unprocessed right off the tape. So
well, that's good to hear, to hear, because I mean, there's nothing wrong. I appreciate people embracing technology, but when it comes to EVPs, I've learned, and I know you have too, Doug, that and when it comes with these particular things. Less is better, in my opinion. The less you have into them, I think the better quality of an EVP you're going to have as far as just what can be heard. You don't have to coach people. You don't have to matrix it at all. You can just hear what's being said. So that's what I think is the most important with EVPs. We do have, like I said, we do have a big list here.
I'd like to hear some of them. And, and the first one, I know, did you guys have your heart set on doing these in order?
No, just whichever one you want to do.
There's one in here, and I don't want to tell anybody what it is, but do you guys have them numbered like we do?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
06.
Well, I haven't got my list available, so you guys can't try to...
Okay. Well, you've probably heard them over and over.
Yeah. I may have recorded a bunch of them.
But number 6 is really, really piquing my interest.
Okay.
And from what I understand...
Yeah, I can see why it would.
It doesn't look like it's an actual, like, word-based EVP, but I'd like to hear number 6 first, then we can go roughly in order. But that's the one that really is piquing my interest. So can we hear it first?
Yeah.
And then we'll hear you guys talk about it. Okay?
Okay, here we go. I'm going to play this one.
Can you bring up their volume?
They have it. They can hear it.
I know. It's a real nice, it's a real nice person.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm going to play that again. Just one more time.
I know. It's a real nice.
It sounds like there's somebody talking and some lady's talking.
Yeah, yeah.
And describing something. And there's this, what appears to be
Woo!
The EVP is the scream.
Yeah.
The rah! Or whatever they're screaming. And what was going on there?
That was in a rental house. And we've had a lot of activity in rental houses for some reason. People will move in and... all of a sudden they'll start experiencing a lot of different activity. But this was a kind of a quick case because the lady emailed us and her child was frightened by an apparition there. And anytime we receive any kind of a case that involved children that are frightened, we run to those cases and try to help those people out as quickly as possible. But we were there doing an investigation. It was the second one. And that just showed up. There was nothing that happened during that time, no other EMF readings or anything like that. When we went back and reviewed the tape, we were just talking back in the bedroom with all the family members there that experienced a lot of activity, and the bedroom was the epicenter. And apparently something that one of the people present said triggered this EVP in the background.
Let's play it one more time. That's a really interesting piece of audio.
So you don't recognize this.
Sounds like they're having a pretty good time.
It sounds like a drunk football fan.
It sounds like they're having some fun.
But what does the little kid in the house, does he or she hear this?
Mostly she had seen, all the activities seemed to take place in the closet. And she had seen a couple of children come out of the closet. The mother of the house, that was her bedroom where the children were so frightened to sleep by themselves that they would come and get in bed with her. And they saw like a smoky apparition go down the hallway and then walk right into that closet. So there's a lot of activity in that house. They moved.
They moved. We were in there during the investigation and I saw clothes move in that closet.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and I wasn't that the one, Steve, where the all the toy the baby's toys were blown out of the closet?
No, that's Collierville House, but
okay.
There was a lot of activity in that house, and they had things moved. Just a really active house, and people did move out, and we've had several cases where people moved out of rental houses.
And none of you heard that, because that's a very audible scream.
That's loud.
No,
you know, we've heard them on occasion. We hear things on occasion on site, but not that one.
Wow.
There's a couple I've sent to you where we actually audibly heard the spirit voice.
Which ones are those? By number, which ones are those?
Is number three. And if you'll start with number one and go down to two and three and four and five, that's all at one location. That's kind of an interesting progression.
Okay, yeah, we'll crank through those. That sounds cool. Okay, here we go. We'll start with number one. Okay, now, we didn't prep anything for this at all, so...
Unfortunately, I don't know what I'm listening
for. Yeah, exactly, that's cool. That's all right, though. What was going on here in this first
piece?
There's
a lot of voices in
there,
and we don't know what is what right now.
Okay, that is possibly... We feel like that is possibly the longest EVP that anyone has ever recorded. It's about 20 seconds long.
Nobody heard any of that, or...?
Oh, no. There's a little girl in the background, okay? We were at an old movie theater. A town real close to Memphis, an old town close to Memphis. This movie theater dates back to the turn of the century. It used to be an ice skating rink, then they turned it into a movie theater. Now it's used for plays. And people have seen this little girl in this theater for years and years. And, you know, she's turn of the century type apparition. We had gone there, gosh, four or five times and not had any kind of activity. I think we'd recorded one EVP of a woman. And then there was about 10 or 11 adults in there. It was about 1 a.m. in the morning. And when we were just about to give up on the place, we thought it really wasn't haunted or active. And we got back, and number one, which the recording you just played, was recorded on a digital video camcorder, which was down in the lobby area.
Uh-huh.
And then when you play number two, that was recorded at the same time on a microcassette recorder up in the balcony of this theater. So you can hear this, you spatially can hear the difference as to where this little girl was, where her presence was in the theater.
Okay.
I do want to hear both of them. Finish your thought.
Go ahead.
You can just tell spatially where she is by how loud she is and how close she is to each recording device.
Let's crank through these now that we understand what's going on.
I want to hear the microcassette one up in the balcony now, and then let's go back and replay the camcorder one.
All right, that sounds good.
But we'll say when we, you know, switch back.
Yeah,
but let's first go with the microcassette up in the balcony. Now, in that recording, do you also hear your voices? Were you guys milling about?
Yes, two team members were talking, so you'll hear some adult voices too, but you hear the little girl in the background.
I hear adult voices, and I also hear a little girl, and is she singing or performing?
She's talking.
It
sounds like there's a lot of emotion in her voice.
She's kind of sing-songing. You know how little kids are? They'll kind of do that sing-song. Talking.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard sing-song, singing kind of thing. I want to switch now back to the camcorder, which was, I think, a lot clearer than the microcassette. I want to switch back to the camcorder now, and we're going to listen to the same thing, only from the lobby, right?
Right.
Okay, so this is the same thing, only from the lobby. Okay. And none of this was heard by you guys. We don't get to the one that you guys heard until the next.
That's number
play.
Three. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's listen to number three.
That's amazing, because I know I'd be scared. I'd be like, wow, what's going on here? I should have heard that.
Let me set up number three for you. We went back 2 weeks later with a smaller group of people, and a lot of times we'll take period music with us. So we had taken some children's songs from early 1900s. And we were playing these songs. You can hear that music in the background. And I was standing down by the stage, and Rich was up in the balcony, and this little girl actually spoke out loud. We all heard her, and then it was also recorded.
All right, let's give this a listen.
Who is that?
I think that was
Nick. Where is he?
In the lobby.
Are you sure? That was a girl. Heard her.
You hear that listen? Sounds like she says listen. That's what we heard.
Let's give it audible. I want to give it one more listen.
Who is that?
I think that was
Nick. Where is he?
In the lobby.
Are you sure? That was a girl. Heard her.
Did you guys talk to, was it VJ or DJ?
Yes, we went immediately. I went up to the lobby and checked where everybody was.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all just in a little conversation group and not spoken out loud or anything like that.
Okay.
We're not in the lobby, in the balcony.
Interesting. And did they happen to hear somebody say listen or a little girl?
They didn't, because they were in a stairway, which was isolated from where we were.
Wow.
Fascinating. And I know we've never heard anything ourselves before. And
we've heard several.
It gets better. The little girl called Rich by name.
Oh. And unfortunately, we're out of time, too.
I know. We're bumping right up against the half hour.
Man.
Let's hear the one where he calls Rich, or where she calls Rich's name.
Yeah, I have that one. That's number
and
four.
Then I'll,
right?
And then I'll holler out the website again so folks can go and contact you guys.
That's number four, right, guys?
Right.
All right, let me go ahead and I'm going to cue this one up.
Wow.
Whoa. That one popped right out, man. Let's play it again.
Yeah.
That'll put a cap on your night right there, huh?
Yeah, I'd be, wow. And you guys capture all this. I absolutely love it. You guys, of course, your website is memphisghosthunters.com. And if you want to go something with these guys. Now, we played, five clips. Out of 24, right? I mean, these things are just amazing. You guys seem to be really doing something right. And you guys offer a program where folks can go down, buy a night at a haunted bed and breakfast, and ghost hunt with you guys. I mean, guys will show them all the equipment and do a little workshop, and you get to meet these guys. Go to memphisghosthunters.com and check them out, you guys, because that's just absolutely an amazing offer.
Yeah,
I
totally.
Think. Wow, I have to say, Steve Rich, what a trip!
Thank you for coming on the show.
Yep.
We really appreciate it, guys. This is you guys stay on the phone. Don't go anywhere. Just don't leave us
yet.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this with Robin Bellamy, a good friend of ours.
Oh yes, Robin Bellamy coming up.